Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest. You've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil. Maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ketanji Brown Jackson is now the nominee for the next U.S. Supreme Court justice. She currently serves as a judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, and the White House describes her as exceptionally qualified. Well, we'll find out about that, right? Jordana and Paul here, and we are joined by Professor David Schultz, Hamline University Professor of Political Science and Constitutional Scholar. Professor Schultz, we're so happy to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure again for being on the show.
So, what do you think about what the White House said? Is she exceptionally qualified?
She's very well qualified. She's been the front runner all along. I know some people were thinking that maybe Judge Wilhelmina Wright Oakley would be on the short list. Most of us thought she was going to be this judge would be picked. She's been on district court. She's been on the Court of Appeals. Biden appointed her last year for the Court of Appeals, so she's already been through a confirmation hearing, passed it with flying colors. The American Bar Association has rated her as highly qualified. By all the standard measures in terms of how we would measure, let's say, qualifications, you know, for a justice, she comes pretty high on the list. So again, no surprise in terms of her being picked.
Professor Schultz, this is Paul. Thank you for joining us today. If confirmed, Judge Jackson would be the first black woman to serve on the high court. But again, she would be the third black justice, Thurgood Marshall, Clarence Thomas, the first two. And certainly everybody predicting a fairly partisan confirmation process. She's already under attack, it seems, from some conservatives who have tried to make her sound like an out-of-touch elitist. I guess because she went to Harvard, I don't know, several other current justices, including two appointed by Republican presidents, went to Harvard. So is that going to stick? Is she going to have a tough road with her confirmation process?
I don't believe so, because what's happened so far, the Democrats may not be able to, in the Senate, agree on too many things amongst themselves. But Biden has been able to hold together his Democratic coalition when it comes to lower court nominations. And he's actually had more judges confirmed to the lower federal courts in his first year than almost any judge in recent history. So I'm expecting that to happen the same thing here, that there's going to be some squabbling and fights for Republicans. But unless something really happens, they're not going to have the votes to be able to defeat this nomination. And again, the fact she's already had a background check going up to the Court of Appeals, it's unlikely that like some surprise is going to emerge or something. And again, in terms of the qualifications, I think with the exception of Amy Coney Barrett, all the other justices in the Supreme Court have backgrounds from Harvard and Yale. So in some sense, she fits in there. Now, would I personally like to see more judges come from different backgrounds and different schools? I probably would, but she fits the profile of let's say, the most typical Supreme Court justice right now.
Okay.
So, Professor Schultz, talk to me about what this means to you as a constitutional scholar, as a professor, someone who studies this and has watched this, someone who is a white man in America. What does this appointment say to you?
Well, what it says to me is a couple things. Well, first off, you know, I know there's this kind of this myth out there that there's an exact right or wrong answer in the law and that all they have to do is discover it. When in fact, the reason why we have nine justices on the Supreme Court, much in the same way why we have 12 jurors, is that we want it to reflect different perspectives. You know, that that we that not everybody's going to agree or bring the same experiences to the court. And so clearly her experiences as a black woman, she experiences the world and sees the law differently than I do, and therefore brings a perspective to the court that's important, much in the same way that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, or Sandra Day O'Connor as a woman brought a perspective to the court that wasn't there before. Or I'll tell a story. Alan Page, when he was on the Minnesota Supreme Court, talked about how none of the white justices on the Minnesota Supreme Court ever experienced being stopped at night in their car on the way from home from work, being told that a black person had stolen, they fit the profile of a black person having stolen a BMW or something. And he said part of what brought to the court was that experience, that perspective. She will do the same thing. She will bring a perspective that I'll say that none of the three of us can bring to the court in terms of her background. And that helps, because don't we want in part the law to reflect the sensibilities and experiences of our society? I think we do.
Professor Schultz,
beautiful.
I'm going to shift this up just a little bit since we have you on the line right now. We want to ask you about what's happening in Ukraine. Little doubt that President Putin is bold and reckless. Is he suicidal? Do you think, based on what you know, your knowledge of history, your knowledge of Putin, and what's happening in the Kremlin, would they be so bold as to venture into NATO territory? What set me off today was Finland is now more interested than ever, along with Sweden. After seeing what's happening to Ukraine, they want to join NATO. And Russia said that could have detrimental consequences. Basically, there's saber rattling because Finland is interested now in joining NATO. Do you think this could spread a contagion and engulf other nations? Or is this just, sadly, a one-off with Ukraine?
I think it's mostly a one-off with Ukraine. Because I think Russia still views and Putin views Ukraine as part of them. They basically think that it's an artificial country. They created it. But I also think that there is a fear that's happening here that if you're not NATO, maybe you're not going to be protected. And hoping that maybe by Sweden or Finland joining NATO, they basically get the protection of what, what's called Article 5, the Mutual Defense Treaty. So what Putin did really is changing the game of Europe in ways that we partly takes back to what World War II basically resets the clock in a lot of ways, in my opinion, mostly quite dangerously. I want to throw, we have a couple more seconds here, is that some of you may know, I've taught in Russia, I've taught in Ukraine. One of my friends actually is in Kiev, and he's a professor. I taught at that school there. As of this morning, he's still okay. But the point being is that, I guess a couple things here. One is I know some of the players over there, and I actually yesterday was giving a lecture. As this has been arranged months ago, I gave a lecture to a school in Moscow, Russia yesterday. And I will simply say it was a tense lecture because we're all worried about what's going to happen here. And the sense that I got is that this is not a war being supported by the Russian citizens, because I think they're worried about the repercussions. Because think about it, these sanctions are going to hit everyday people over there in really ugly ways.
Yeah,
and we only have a minute. Did you get the sense that the students could speak freely to you, or was it just sort of an undertone when you were giving them a lecture?
Well, we all watched our words, and so how I referred to the invasion yesterday is I simply said the phrase events happening in the world today, and everybody knew what I was referring to, and nobody was going to say Russian invasion, because we just presupposed, guess what, that the authorities are listening in on us.
Professor David Schultz, fascinating. We will call on you again, sir. Thank you for being so well-rounded to answer all of our questions, and we'll talk more about your dealings in Russia and Ukraine. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Dave.
My pleasure. Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Wow. Amazing. Very insightful. If you didn't hear it, rewind it on Odyssey, but we'll tweet it out soon.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Let's be honest, you've been portrayed as a monster.
Yes.
Evil, maniacal.
What's it like to interview a killer? 48 Hours is taking you inside what we've learned about the criminal mind. This is Killer Conversation. You can follow and listen to Killer Conversation on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.